Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on the show today, it's going to be fun. We actually have a three-time founder on the podcast who has built and sold two companies and built another one. And the one that he's done now called Freedom Chat is really impressive. So Tanner Haas will be on the show today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. Tanner, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks so much for having me.
Glad to have you on today. Really looking forward to the conversation. We had that opportunity to talk before the show, learn a little bit about your business, and I'm really excited to hear about Freedom Chat. Why don't we get started with you telling us your story a little bit? Tell us how you got to where you're at today.
So I'm going to start off by correcting you slightly. I'm a four-time founder.
Okay, three times. You know, what, three times, four times, whatever.
So I started my first company when I was 18. I been a voracious reader since I was 16. So basically I would just dive into business books, biographies. And I knew I only wanted to work for myself. Didn't want to work in a cubicle. Didn't want to take orders from somebody else. I'm not a fan of the 9-to-5. Entrepreneur, those hours don't exist. Maybe like 5 in the morning to 9 at night. I mean, maybe that, but anyway.
As my uncle, who has always been an entrepreneur, he goes, I work half days, 6 to 6. So
pretty much he's taking it easy. The 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep.
But that's a real thing. Like that's the life. So I started my first company when I was 18. It was a nutrition company. And I was just a fitness fanatic. I thought, you know what? First company, let's start with nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I raised a little bit from friends and family, put my own stuff in, sold off basically everything I've had, but I've had odd jobs since I was 16. So I was able to save a little bit. Put this into the nutrition company. It was called Pittori Nutrition, and we started with protein powder, which people might listen to this. They might be thinking, oh, that's a good business. Terrible business. Please do not go into it.
It's a tough business.
Tough business. It's expensive to make the protein powder. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's expensive to ship it, and it's very expensive to acquire customers. And then you're probably not going to keep them very long because somebody else on Instagram the other day just came out with a new one. And somebody today on Facebook is going to come out with a new one. I mean, terrible business. And so my problem was I didn't really dive into the economics of the business early on. I was 18. I was, you know, I just want to start this. I'm going to do it. It's the internet. People will come if I have a website. So wrong. And I mean, that was the first learning lesson. You actually have to have an intriguing value proposition. You have to learn to sell. You have to deliver something of value. So first company cost me $25 to make a bottle. Shipping's $15, and I would sell it for $39.95. So I was literally losing money.
Zero margin
without even acquiring a customer. So I kind of realized, okay, this is not going to work. But I did know how to sell. I knew how to sell. I learned a lot through hiring a marketing firm. Trial and error. I knew how to run successful Facebook, Instagram, and Google ads. So rather than cut the cord entirely and say I failed, I basically sold all of the product that we had, which was over $100,000 worth, for $5,000. Not even kidding. Just a wholesaler, $5,000. And then I basically put all of that into a product called Thought Calmer. And I didn't even have enough money to finish the product. So in this space, you basically put 50% down. So I put the $5,000 as the down payment, created the landing page, and customers were able to order early And I drove some interest there. And then by the time the product was out and I had to pay the rest of the 50% down payment, I was able to do that. So, I mean, I knew how to sell, and it was a little nutraceuticals, a stress relief supplement that did really well. And then I put that into something called Easy Sleep. So like a sleep aid, and that was enough to really drive investor interest. I knew this individual who's a cosmetic surgeon in Denver. And he put $350,000 into the company, and that kind of just, we introduced new products, one of them being an autism supplement, because we actually partnered with this biotech company that has a lot of experience with individuals with autism. So after that investment, 6 months after, I sold the company to that same biotech company, because they're like, okay, what the heck? You know how to sell. Well, you guys are getting sales. We want to introduce a cellular health supplement. Do you think you could have success selling this? Yes, absolutely. So they acquired Fatori Nutrition, and I stayed on a little bit, but my second company was actually a piggyback off of the first for all intents and purposes. I mentioned the autism supplement. I had a lot of, I mean, most people's conception of autism is they think of it like this disease, and that's wrong. It's a neurological, neurodivergent disorder. Like everybody who's listening to this, myself included, you, Jeff, some, we're all on the spectrum in one way or another. It just varies on the severity. But some people have ADHD. Some people, it could be behavioral, social, psychological. And so what we did is we partnered with licensed therapists, and we formulated an online autism test powered by, like, it was really powered by AI. And you go through 36 questions, and it would give you your unique autism score based on your behavioral, psychological, and social. And then it'd recommend the appropriate actions to take. So you can connect with a therapist in the portal, watch pre-recorded content like speech therapy. We were ahead of, we were ahead, actually. I mean, if you look at the AI boom that's going on now, that wasn't the case in 2018. That there was no boom. We were too early. Oh, you can't give diagnosis online. You can't technically know. But now if you look, there's startups
but at
like
least
that.
It gets you down the road.
It gets you on the right path.
Yeah. And, I mean, it puts you on the right. Yeah. We're not going to diagnose the issue, but at least if you can say, okay, this is, I'm feeling this way. Okay. Well, this might be X. Okay. Yeah. At least points
get
you in
them
the
on
right
the correct path.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to say next is going to make your blood boil, because actually we were doing that. We got 16,000 submissions in six. 16,000 submissions in six to seven weeks.
Jeez.
So we blew up, and it was free, and it was working. Like, it actually, you could connect within our portal with a therapist right then and there. You could schedule an appointment if you wanted. Right now, the average time to get a diagnosis for autism, which is often treated as binary, you have autism, you don't, is 2 years. Terrible. And I started, after those 7 weeks, getting some very, very threatening letters from therapists that weren't in our network, different autism organizations that act like they're actually operating for the greater good, but it's a little money scheme. That's all true. I mean, it's these organizations.
You're horning in on their territory, so they're going to
And they didn't
back.
Like it. And their CEO that makes $1 million a year, and even though they're supposed to be a nonprofit, didn't like it. And I'm getting all these threatening letters, threatening to report me to regulators, all this. So I'm 22. I just sold my first company, doing pretty well, getting all these threatening letters. In review, I was like, you know what? This isn't worth it to me. I just decided to shut the company down. But that was a travesty. I still think it is. I mean, nobody's done something like that today for autism. Yep. And we could pick it back up right where we left off. That is the future for autism. Better understanding of individuals. And just because we were encroaching on some people's territory, they didn't like it. And that was also a really big learning lesson for me, is like, not everybody, I mean, business makes people do funny things that they,
and the people that, and the people that are in the nonprofit world, it is a business.
They're dirty. They are dirty. It is a business. Is a business. I don't like nonprofits for that reason, because it's like, okay, you say you're nonprofit, like 60%, I believe, over 50% of hospitals in the country claim they're nonprofit. Yet look at what those CEOs make. Look at the amount of people that declare bankruptcy because of medical debt. You want to say you're nonprofit? That's BS. That's nonsense. Same thing on the autism side. I mean, I just not a fan of the nonprofit business model, because if you pay people salaries, you yourself, your CEO, you pay a salary. I don't really think that's not for profit. And if people are declaring bankruptcy because of you, sure as hell not for profit. Uh-huh. Are you sure as hell are for profit?
Yeah.
So that was the second company. I decided to shut that down. But interestingly enough, a week after that, an individual called me, and my first company, Pretoria Nutrition, I struggled. Like, that was tough. I drove Uber on the side. And I would drive to the nicest neighborhoods in Miami. This is where I was living at the time, just to A, get inspired, and B, you know, maybe I'll connect with somebody that wants to invest. The investment part did not happen. Nobody wanted to invest in an Uber driver, believe it or not. But I did meet some interesting people. And this one guy that I picked up called me four and a half years later, said, I'm thinking of starting an online pharmacy. I remember our discussion because we texted a little bit in between this, because I was listening to an audiobook. We kind of hit it off a little. And then he asked, well, I'm starting an online pharmacy. Do you think you could help us with a website? I said, yeah, of course. I just sold my other company, shut down my second one. Yeah, of course. And paid me $5,000 to make a website. And I didn't realize that this was actually a big pharmacy he was building. And they didn't just need a website. They needed social media management. They needed SEO. They needed content creation. So basically that one organic phone call turned into a very, very large, I mean, well over mid five figures, basically, as a monthly contract. But it wasn't just that. He then recommended, oh, you guys got to work with this kid. He does a really good job. And all of a sudden, this marketing company that was formed so organically, we had 10 clients before I even had a name, before we even had a website. So I'm telling people, yeah, we can help you with your website. I didn't even have a website. So that's another lesson, is your character, people's perception of you, that matters. I mean, you can close a lot of deals. I've never closed a deal, never met somebody from LinkedIn. It's usually word of mouth. It's usually like direct conversation. And I mean, you never know who you're going to meet. I picked this guy up in an Uber, and he literally was the whole reason I started my marketing SEO website creation firm. Got me my first 10 clients. And then finally, after 10, I was like, okay, we'll create our own website to show people we
maybe
exist.
Yeah. We actually, hello, we're here.
We exist. Exactly. Yeah. And that did really well. We went from 10 to 20 to 30 clients. And those clients, I mean, these were not small deals. I chose who we wanted to work with. They had to be mission-based organizations. I mean, no, whatever people think. I mean, it's just not my cup of tea is... no drugs, no alcohol, nothing like that. These were good businesses. And the pharmacies, most pharmacies stink. This was a generic pharmacy. I mean, you could get something that would cost $300 at Walgreens, $10 on their website. I really liked what they were doing. We partnered with a lot of great organizations. And as I was working for one of our clients, it was a new site, and I was managing their website. And I remember watching an interview, and I looked at some of these comments. It was a privacy interview. And I was going through these comments, and I'm like, okay, why are these people so concerned? What do they mean that somebody can spy on me through my camera? What do they mean that my photos are automatically categorized? What do they mean that? And I was going through, and I actually did some due diligence myself. And I would go through, and I dug into this. And the more I learned about it, the more... I'm not going to say terrified. I say the more angry I got. And that's how you know you should start a business, is not what gets you so excited. It's kind of what makes your blood boil. Like, what do you hate so much that you need to fix? That if you don't do it, you feel like nobody's going to do it. And I was like, you know what? These messaging apps, WhatsApp, iMessage, Signal, Telegram, they act like they're so private and secure. They're actually not. And I don't trust them. I don't think somebody else is going to do the job. And I asked five of my clients that I really liked, said, I'm thinking of starting a private messaging app. I didn't know the name. What do you think of that? So if you think you should start it, go for it. And I said, well, you do realize that I won't be able to run your stuff anymore. We'll have to shut down Zeke SEO, which was the name of the company. They said, yep, go ahead. And those five clients I spoke to were actually the pre-seed investors for Freedom Chat.
Nice.
And we just started, I just took one step and I said, okay, we're going to make a private message now. I didn't know the name at the time. We just created something. We launched it. We got the beta version out. And we got 30,000 users in 30 days. That was the MVP. Wow. Let's test the concept. We blew up, but the product was really poor. I mean, like, user experience was terrible. We just validated the proof of concept. Would people be interested in this? And the answer was yes. So we basically been working on Freedom Chat for the past 2 years. It's not easy to do what we've done. Telegram was funded by their billionaire. WhatsApp, when they launched in 2009, they didn't have any features. All there was messaging. There was no security. There was no user friendliness. Signal got $100 million grant from the co-founder of WhatsApp. Like, we basically have had to bring, not only does our security surpass these other messaging apps, we had to reach feature parity, give users the experience that they're used to. And we've done it all raising basically $2 million. And we just launched our alpha product. But I mean, there is a tremendous upside for Freedom Chat here. Mm-hmm. The team we've assembled, the market size, the opportunity, our product itself, like, we've already built the most private messaging app on the planet, built from the ground up to ensure users' privacy, freedom, security, and it's only going to continue to get better from there. So that's how we've got to where we are today and why I'm talking to you.
With a $2 million buy-in and you're already to an alpha product is pretty damn impressive, dude.
So it has been long, long days. That is for sure. But
I'm guessing there's probably not a lot of ping pong tables and all that. Everybody comes to work and works. So
everybody comes to work and works, and it's not a 9-to-5. It really is we've had some stretches where it's 18-hour days, where it's 19-hour days, where it's, there's no alternative. We're fighting against the clock here. So
all your development in-house, or do you bring in contractors, or?
Very little contractors, because you want to keep like a close grip on the product.
Yep.
There's been times where we've had a sprint and we're okay, we need help releasing this feature, but anything security related is in-house. I consider that IP, but there are certain like user friendly features. That when you got to ship quickly, you got to ship quickly, but they're all from verified individuals that one of our developers, they know, it's a direct connection.
Yeah. So what's really the future for Freedom Chat? I mean, you've got the alpha product out. Sounds like you really kind of took off right out of the gate. What's your user growth look like?
Our user growth users have shown that they're interested in this. So our alpha product, we've received 35,000 downloads to date. Our MVP was different because we had to, it was completely separate. The future, and I tell this to our investors, I tell this to our employees, is I believe by 2030, we can have between 50 to 150 million monthly active users. The messaging app market is going to be over 5 billion. What's around 5 billion right now? It's going to be around 6.9 billion people on a messaging app by 2030. I think we can get 50 to 150 million users, less than basically 3% of the market. And that's, so let's say 100 million users, and we're pay for privacy. Say we have 15 million paying subscribers at $5.99 a month that are willing to pay for their privacy. That's $1.1 billion a year in revenue. We don't store messages on our server, so we're able to keep costs extremely low. And Freedom Chat's not just a messenger. We created a private new form of social media. So people can create Freedom Chat channels. Your audience can subscribe to your channel. Nobody can see the channel you're subscribed to or the posts you react to. So we have the most private messaging app on the planet, a new form of social media. And then we're going to also introduce voice and video calls, calendar links. We have a Freedom Chat for Business, which basically we allow companies to white label. White label means that we strip out our branding, our color scheme, and they customize it so it could be a HIPAA compliant chat, could be used for dating apps. I mean, I see Freedom Chat not only as one of the most private messaging apps, that's what it will be in the future, but it's like a cybersecurity company or tech. There are so many more use cases than just allowing people to message. I mean, you think of healthcare, the amount of conversations, encryption, there.
Yeah, my industry, financial services. I mean, we're
terrible. Honestly.
Yeah, we're dealing with client. I mean, that's probably the biggest. My state audit, I think we spent more time talking about like cybersecurity, you know, message security, email stuff. Mm-hmm. Very little about the investment side of things, but really
because if you don't have your cybersecurity, you have no investment.
That's exactly. Yeah.
With healthcare, if you don't protect your patient's data, you have no business. We saw what happened with the Change Healthcare. People couldn't get paid. I mean, that's the future. It's going to continue to get worse and worse. And we're approaching an era of quantum computers coming online. There will be no healthcare. There will be no finance industry if people don't secure their future. So I see Freedom mm-hmm. Chat. The goal is not just for Freedom Chat to stay in our lane and be a private messenger. No, I want to help secure the finance space, healthcare, legal, insurance. Like there's so many industries that are not prepared for what's coming. They're not secure in any way, shape, or form. And I'm surprised there haven't been more HIPAA fines, honestly.
I'm completely convinced these regulators are so far behind the times. You know, I mean, in our industry, they're 20 years behind the times at this point.
Oh my gosh, yes.
They don't even have a clue or an understanding of the risks that are out there. So, I mean, it's really cool to see where you're going with this. And I mean, I love the ability to, you know, have a business app, but also have that the white label app where it's like, okay, this is our technology. I mean, you guys are powering
nobody can
it,
tell.
It's our technology.
It looks like it's yours. Yep. And you guys can even on-prem, meaning like you can manage your servers. If you want to store your conversations on a server because you need that, like in finance you do, okay, go ahead. But you need everything to be end-to-end encrypted. You don't want to support linked devices, edit, unsend, self-destruct. Okay, you can do that. And what you said, because I saw this the other day, it was kind of funny. You said that regulators are so far behind the times. There was someone talking to Sam Altman from ChatGPT, and they said, "Who wrote this poem to my wife?" And the guy put it in ChatGPT, or his wife did. And Sam Altman's trying to explain, "Well, sir, it's a large language." No, who wrote it? Like, oh my gosh, it's not an actual person.
Yeah.
It's like the regulators are so
far behind.
It's a
machine. Yeah, it's a machine that did this. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, what do you see? You know, I mean, you see the user growth and the end use and all that. What's what's the next step for you guys now that the alpha's out there? What features are you adding, you know, within the next 6 to 12 months?
We'll add voice and video calls. We'll add post-quantum encryption, which is encryption against quantum computers. We're adding the ability to reply to a message like on WhatsApp or iMessage, the ability to reply to a channel. We're just going to continue to pump out new features, location sharing, but that'll be end-to-end encrypted, stickers. It's going to be a full-fledged app. So the focus is features, but then user growth, and then we're also raising our seed round at the moment. We've raised $1 million of our $4 million. We're raising another $3 million. So the goal is raise, pump up the user growth, pump out features, and this is an important stage of the company because it takes us from 35,000, 100,000. No, we need to now get in the millions of users.
Yeah,
and prove that this is a real viable product.
It's that first million that you got to get to break out. I mean,
that's a real product. Yeah. Then it's like, okay, this is not this is a real thing. That I think will get some of the companies to have the, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse. So I'll say, oh shoot moment where they're like, wow, this actually is a competitor. This could be something that I think the first million and then it keeps going. That's where the checks start getting written because companies get scared and they, could this encroach on our territory? And what I like about this space particularly is you're not just going to be acquired based on your multiple, like your earnings multiple. What tech do you have? What team do you have? Is this encroaching on my territory? Because there's 24 hours in a day. So if people are spending 4 hours on Freedom Chat, that's coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest way for a company to basically enter their demise. And I mean, this is Clay Christensen, the Harvard professor, popularized this, but you kind of have to consume yourself. So,
yeah,
like Freedom Chat's going to disrupt you. That's where we can get a lot of acquisition offers. But the goal is for this to remain an independent company. We're only really going to be acquired by somebody that we like, trust, and admire. So no, it's not going to be Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's not going to be something. Yeah. You'd get a really big check in that position, but.
And then all the users would be gone. And
Exactly. And it's useless at that point. Yeah. I mean, they write a big check just to get you out of the way at that point. Take some of your technology and be done with it. But, but yeah, I mean, I like the thought process of, hey, you know, we have to do this for a reason. And I like where you're coming from with that perspective. So good on you on that. What do you foresee your future role in this? I mean, are you going to continue to be the head of the show, or do you need somebody else to step in?
I hope some of our investors don't watch this. I mean, I have a lot of interest, and
you don't have to answer this, by the way.
No, I'm an open book. I will 100% answer it. Is I've always had an idea of the next company I wanted to start before I actually left the company I'm working on. And I won't run Freedom Chat forever. I don't want to be running this in 10 years. I don't want to be running it in 5 years, in all honesty, unless I have also can be a CEO of another company. I have a lot of interest in healthcare. I think that needs to be fixed, not just on the legislative side, but on the consumer side. I mean, we're killing ourselves. People aren't going to go to the hospital because they're going to get killed financially from something.
Yeah.
The egregious billing, the malpractice. There's just a lot of disruption that needs to happen there. And that's what I was saying earlier, is how do you know what company you should start? It shouldn't be what do you like, because I don't like healthcare. It should be what makes your blood boil. Honestly, if I read these studies, if you go look at the problems with U.S. healthcare, plug that into ChatGPT, get some info, it'll make your blood boil. And if it doesn't, something's wrong with you. So that is where I'm like, somebody needs to fix this. I'm not seeing it getting better. I don't trust the people that are working on it. So I have a huge desire to get into that space. But right now my focus is Freedom Chat, but no, there's other problems that need to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, then, I mean, that's your mission, and that's what you've done kind of all along. You've built your way up to this point, and, you know, you get yourself that ability to do it. So I appreciate your honesty there. Didn't know if you'd answer the question. I just fired it off.
Always. I will always. There's nothing you could ask me where I wouldn't answer. You answer it honestly, and if there's some drawback, there's some drawback.
Absolutely. Well, let's switch gears here a little bit and talk about the fast five questions now.
Please. Yes.
All right. So you wake up in the morning. Business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, a laptop computer, place to live and stay. What do you do first?
First thing I do, in all honesty, is probably ask one of my friends' connections for a $10,000 to $20,000 loan, so I can think a little more, because $500 isn't going to do anything. So I first said, "Hey, can you give me a $10,000 loan, which gives you rent for, not a long time, but like most people, rent for a little bit." But then you get an idea, and then you can formulate a deck. And then I'd go out and raise money for a new company.
Okay.
So first thing I would do is get a little more cushion under I want to be able to think and actually time to formulate something. $500 would last not very long.
Yeah. Well, you do have a place to stay and food and drink. So
is it paid off?
Yes.
The place. So no expenses with $500.
$500 to get going.
Then I'd use it on some software online to make a deck, make a website, and then go out and raise. So if there's no expenses and all that's paid for, I don't need a $10,000 loan. So all good.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So
that's a great question.
All right. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
I made two big ones, terrible ones. Is the first one I mentioned with the nutrition company is one, starting the company prior to doing any due diligence. Like, business does not care about your feelings. So don't think I want to start this because I want to start it or I love this. This is so fun. Okay. businesses need to make money or it's not a business. So for me, for like Pretoria Nutrition, I wanted to start a nutrition company. I want to start protein powder. If I just did a little due diligence and said, well, how much does it cost to make? And I saw this at the end. I got the purchase order, but I just sent it anyway. I didn't even think twice about it. And if I actually broke down, okay, well, it's $25 to make. Labels will add basically $1. Shipping's $15. I'm going to price it at $40. Well, I can't do that. Since shipping free, what's my customer acquisition cost? I can't start a protein business. Actually go through the exercise. So the first thing is the business starts before the business starts. The economics of the business need to be sound. Don't try to, I'll figure it out later. Because I've tried that and you will burn through quite a bit of money. And then you'll learn and you might not be able to get back up and you might just eat that cost. So number one is the business starts before the business starts. Mm-hmm. The other is the MVP I talked about with Freedom Chat is so many people get caught up. Like there's two types of entrepreneurs, honestly. There's one that moves way too quickly and breaks things and figures it out. That's me, which I actually am trying to dial back a little bit. And then there's some that go so slow, they never start. And I've had people ask me business ideas this year and I've talked to them and they're ready to go through the exercise. And it has been not just this year. I mean, this is dating back to middle of last year. And I'm like, okay, some people just aren't ever going to start because they think too much. They get paralysis by analysis. And so you need to move very quickly, but not faster than you actually can. Yeah. So like our MVP for Freedom Chat, we launched it too quickly. We should have actually spent more time with the product, make it better, because we've had to launch multiple times because I keep thinking I give myself a self-imposed deadline like, oh, the world's going to change and we have to get this out. Very rarely is there an event that is going to really change the company that much. Like, I know you want to put this pressure on you, or at least I do, but it's no, whether you release it in 1 month or 6 months, if you have the cash and you have the runway, just release it when the product's right. And those two lessons, if people actually take that to heart, you will save a lot of money, heartache. And those two biggest things, the next company I will start like Freedom Chat, we took it two years to get it to our alpha product. I think I'd be able to do it a lot quicker with the next company because I'd know exactly what to focus on. I'd focus more on setting the foundation. Do one thing very well. Don't try to add too many features and then they all suck. And then I'd go into the economics of the business and I would understand that forward and backward before even beginning.
Awesome. That's a great answer, by the way. What's a good book that you'd recommend? I can't imagine that you wouldn't have a good book right on the tip of your tongue, or at least 20.
I've got hundreds. If people go to my website, they can see all of them. This is going to be a different answer than I'm sure you've heard.
Yep.
But my book recommendation for anybody would read the biography of the person you most admire. And I don't mean don't say your mom or grandma. Don't say that. What public figure do you most admire? What president have you most admired? Go read their biography. And that will change your life because a lot of people, like we like to put people on a pedestal. And when you read a biography, you realize, wow, he got divorced. She had a miscarriage. She was in debt. He lost his father. Like you'll realize that they're a normal person. They did a lot of things that you could do. They just didn't quit. They thought a little bigger. That's my number one book recommendation, is just pick up the book of the person that you most admire.
It's funny. I just finished reading Bill O'Reilly's book on, it's called Confronting the Presidents. It's probably the one that didn't really do as well as you would have expected. It was probably one of the most interesting books to read because I came to the realization that we have had some serious duds. The person who has, achieved the highest role basically in our country, and probably 80% of them were the biggest duds ever. There's been very, very, very few that have actually really been successful at the role.
Well, there's I'd say 10 that have really changed the course of history. There's some that are just placeholders.
Yep. some that are just atrociously terrible.
Yeah. And then there's some that do really great things, and they're the ones that we talk about for decades.
Yeah.
I mean,
and there's a few of those guys like the Calvin Coolidges of the world who were very low key, but they did a ton of amazing stuff while they were in that role, but they just didn't really go, hey, look at me.
They didn't have, and I think Theodore Roosevelt said this, because I think he's one of the greatest people on the planet.
Yep.
As a person, he was uncorruptible. He was honest. He was, he was incredible. He basically said that some presidents are decided by like a catastrophe, because that can either make or break them. And there's some that respond, some that just go through 4 years and nothing happens, and they didn't do bad. They didn't do anything that was harmful. They also just didn't
do
have
anything
to
good.
Face something.
Yeah.
I'm going to read that. I haven't read that, but I've been going through
presidential biographies. You'll enjoy it because it's just, you'll enjoy it because you get a whole bunch of biographies, because he does just a really good job of like, here's their history, here's how they got to be president, and here's what the results of their presidency were. So, within maybe four pages, he covers like the entire history of that president. And, it was like from about 1821 till Theodore Roosevelt, you had Grant in there and you had Lincoln, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Everybody else just
really
sucked.
Yep. Buchanan was atrocious because he's the reason we ended up in the Civil War. Lincoln's job was to fix. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick that up.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. It's a great book. What's a tool that you use in your business every day that you might enjoy sharing?
I use Freedom Chat to message my employees.
Nice.
You have Slack. I use Proton Mail instead of Gmail, which is more private. Canva for design, QuickBooks. I mean, the usual stuff, the most important, it's not like the number of things you have. It is remarkable how little you need to actually start and run a business.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people think you need all this. You could start a business. You can make a deck. You can get your finances in order for less than $100 a month. Easy. Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science. Like, so I probably have 4 to 5 softwares we use, and that's it.
Yeah. Which is great. I mean, it makes
less
it simple. You don't. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, you collect some of these services sometimes. I was sitting there today and just happened to like see a credit card charge come across when I was on my credit card account. I'm like, what the heck is this? I've been getting billed on this thing for like half a year,
That's
and it wasn't much. It's $17, but I've never used it at all, and it was one of those ones where I'm like, oh, this is great. Somebody recommended it. I'll get in there and look at it. And then I totally forgot that I was getting billed on it. So, I think the lean version of it, just, hey, find those 4 or 5 softwares that run your business and put your head down and go.
And use the free trial. If you need to use something, get the free trial and then cancel it right when you're done.
There you go. Awesome. Final question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
My definition of freedom is, I try to live it as much as possible at the moment, but you get to work on what you want to work on each day. You get to surround yourself with the people you want to surround yourself with. You get to think the thoughts that you want to think, say what you want to say without repercussions. So if you disagree with something, don't bite your tongue. You can say it because you have the wherewithal to support yourself financially, physically, emotionally, whatever. It's really just living your true life. Like that's what it means for me. Is a lot of people, they don't get to work on what they want to work on. They don't get to talk to who they want. Like they go in a cubicle, they go and they just, freedom is doing what you want to do. And that very often does not mean just sitting around and relaxing. It's going to probably mean work, but you're working on a problem that you want to work on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic answer. You didn't give me the usual, I want to do what I want, when I want, with whoever I want. Okay.
No.
Yeah, great. Yeah, whatever. But no, I love where you came from with that. Well, Tanner, if somebody's interested in learning more about you, learning more about Freedom Chat, what's the best places to find you?
They can go to freedomchat.com. Okay. You can download the app on iOS or Android. You can also go to my website, tannerhaas.com. Tanner Haas is spelled HAAS.com. I book recommendations, articles from the biggest lessons I've learned. Those would be the two things. And I am not a fan of social media. I have a Freedom Chat channel I post to my audience, but I think a lot of people would be better served if they put their phone down, got off social media, and just started to work on something they wanted to work on.
Love it. Love it. Love it, my friend. You live your philosophy. So I absolutely applaud you on that. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and ideas and your experiences for our audience, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff. It was my pleasure.
You're welcome. And folks, make sure you go out, reach out to him. He's got fantastic social, or well, fantastic website, because I was on there taking a look at some of his book recommendations. So thanks a lot for joining us. Make sure you subscribe to the channel, and we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.